Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Monday, April 14th, 2025. I am Carl James, joined by Zach Horwitz, Chris Feeney, and Cassidy Palmer. Indiana went on the road this weekend and picked up their fourth series loss out of six in conference play. Only by the fact that their series wins have both been sweeps are the Hoosiers still on the right side of 500 baseball in Big Ten play. As it broke down, it was the Friday night game that was the decider. Saturday was a convincing win for the Hoosiers, and Sunday was even more convincing a win for Illinois. It was Friday where Hoosier pitching was good enough, but the bats were in between on timing and just couldn't score enough runs in order to overcome and essentially win the series, because that was the key game there. That being said, there were some great performances over the weekend, especially Saturday. Chris, who do you got for Red Belts?
Yeah, this is definitely a Saturday night special of Red Belts. For our Alex Dickerson Award, we're going to go Caleb Koski. A three-hit game, three RBIs, two runs scored, two walks. And the three hits that he had, two of those were doubles. And then he comes back the next day. Not too many people even got a hit on Sunday and hit another double. So to start off the weekend 0-for-4 on Friday and to do what he did Saturday and then to still come back Sunday and get a double, he's going to get the Alex Dickerson Award. Our pitching award, Cole Gilley, once again. 5 1/3 inning, just the three hits, one run scored and seven strikeouts, and that was 84 pitches. So if you go back his last nine innings, I mean, it's some stellar stuff. We're talking about just two runs scored, just seven hits, and 12 Ks. So that would be quite the nine-inning performance if you add those two together. Defensively, for the Tony Butler Award, we're going to go for the man who hasn't made an error all season long, and went out of his way to go over to the rail Saturday, clear it, make the catch, Jacob Hanlon. I mean, the team's made 43 errors, not one for Hanlon yet. And he's got 16 assists. So that means he hasn't made the bad throws either when he's had to throw a second, go home, whatever the case. He's been a part of 19 double plays. And, you know, he's got 1,000 fielding percentage. And he's a rookie in the Big Ten. He plays every damn day. So the Red Belts are going to be Caleb Koski, Cole Gilley, and Jacob Hanley for this week.
All right, so now we'll move it to Tuesday's midweek against Indiana State. They enter with an 18-17 overall record in Tracy Archuleta's first season. The Sycamore headman took over for Mitch Hannahs, who spent a decade at Indiana State before heading to USF in Tampa, Florida, following back-to-back postseason appearances. So Archuleta, who came from Southern Indiana, has the Sycamores playing good baseball as of late. They've won four of their last five weekend series and even nabbed a midweek win over Purdue in extra innings just a week ago. We got a good look at Indiana State and Indiana's 9-4 victory, which took place in Terre Haute. It was Darren Swanson and Pete Haas who controlled the ball game, with Gavin Siebold closing it out that day. Indiana's pitching staff combined for 13 strikeouts, while the offense behind Corbin Dickerson and Jake Hanley scratched across five runs in the sixth inning, taking advantage of seven free passes issued by the Sycamore pitching staff and three defensive errors behind them as well. Speaking of Indiana's pitching staff, Indiana State's pitching staff averages a 5.91 team ERA. They'll give the ball to right-hander Jacob Spencer to open it up. He owns a 9.64 ERA, allowing at least one run in each of his seven appearances this year. Each of those are short stints, similar to Indiana's approach. Countering him for IU will be last week's duo of Jackson Yarberry, who continues to grind back from his injury, and southpaw Darren Swanson, who shined just a week ago. So they'll have to focus on leadoff man Carter Beck, who is the starting center fielder for the Sycamores. He posts a .289 batting average and leads the team in stolen bases. Carlos Pena is the real threat in that lineup, usually in the third spot of the order. So Pena has eclipsed the 50-hit mark this season, slashing a team-leading .370 batting average with 11 home runs and 40 RBIs. So both of these guys had multi-hit outings in the first meeting between the two teams, which took place on March 11th. Jeff Mercer is a combined 5-2 against Indiana State during his tenure at Indiana. He hopes to add to it and make it three wins in a row on Tuesday night against the Sycamores. So after that midweek matchup, Indiana will have a big weekend series as Maryland pays a visit to Bloomington. We'll go over to Cass. What can we expect from the Terrapins?
Yes, thank you, Zach. So the Terrapins will be coming into Bloomington this weekend, and we do know that Maryland at the BART has generated some of our favorite memories in our time there. So there's just something kind of special about that. The Terrapins are off to a fairly rough start in Big Ten play. They are 16-21 on the season, 4-11 in conference, 5-10 on the road, and they are 148th in the RPI. And what I could figure out about this team is just they are consistently inconsistent. This season, they've lost to Ball State. They've also scored 35 runs in a win versus Western Carolina. They split with, I think it's then number 12, Wake Forest, split two games with them. They've lost all five of their Big Ten series, but they have gotten one win in each of those series, except for the Illinois series where they got swept at Illinois. They've also played three out of the four West Coast teams in the conference. So that's not an easy schedule. Have it out of your first five series, you played three of the West Coast teams. In the same breath, they in their wins against UCLA and Oregon, they ruled both of those teams in seven innings. So this team has been up and down. Overall, mostly down, but when they're up, they can play with anybody. They're hitting 285 as a team with 48 home runs. They do lead the conference in walks earned, about half a walk per game above IU. But they're also fifth in strikeouts. So, and they have a similar number of hit by pitches as IU, sitting at 60 of those. The three big bats to watch are Chris Hakopian. It feels like we've had a Hakopian brother on this team forever. We've still got two of them, both Eddie and Chris Hakopian. Eddie's a senior, Chris is a sophomore. We've still got a lot of Chris Hakopian. He's hitting 345 on the year. OPS over 1,000. He's got pop, but not a ton of it. He can hit it out, but that's not his bread and butter. 29 walks to 15 Ks. He's patient and he's gonna work counts. Hollis Porter hitting 296, has 13 home runs. He's a big power guy. He's also got 49 Ks. So boom or bust. Alex Colarco is the third bat. He's hitting 292, also has 13 home runs. He's more patient. He does have 33 strikeouts, but he's earned 28 walks to balance that out. On the pitching side, they have a staff ERA of 6.53 and a 286 batting average against. They have had pretty consistent issues with walks and sometimes with home runs. Seems like they give up home runs in bunches occasionally. The main one to watch are, I'm not going to go too deep on their pitching staff, but Kyle McCoy, lefty, he is their only guy who has enough innings to qualify statistically. He's bounced between Friday and Saturday based on weather and schedule. But he's got a 3.06 ERA. Pitching five or six innings a game in Big Ten play. He's only given up four home runs, 14 walks to 51 Ks. And he had the hard luck loss versus Oregon this past weekend. Seven innings pitched, two earned runs given up, and he got the loss. I feel bad for him on that. I will note that there is once again, decent chance of weather. So be on the lookout. It's looking like Friday should be all right. Friday should actually be pretty gorgeous. Maybe a little cloudy, but gorgeous. And then potentially wet throughout the day on Saturday into Sunday. So be on the lookout for potential game change. We have not heard of anything yet. It's still too early to say, but be aware of that as you make plans to head to the BART.
Plus, I would say, again, stress exactly what Kath said. We have not heard anything, but if we were to take that forecast, and if that's what happens, I would highly bet on a Friday
Friday
doubleheader.
doubleheader. Yep.
So, and that's also one of those things to understand. If you're a fan, you're planning on going to the night game. All those Friday night games have ended up starting earlier than 6. So I would expect the games to start earlier than 6 if they indeed go to the Friday doubleheader as the option. Based on what we've seen in the past, we have not heard anything on this topic other than just being able to read a weather forecast.
Yes, at least the forecast as of now.
Yeah, and
It
again, and
could
it's
change.
rain, so it could easily change between now and then.
Yep. Okay, now, Chris, I think you've got some pro highlights for us.
You got it. Thanks, Cass. It really is amazing how nice the weather is when the guys aren't here. Like this past weekend was beautiful, yeah. I mean, it's just incredible. Every home weekend has been a sloppy mess. I was ready to hear there was a triple header scheduled for Monday for this weekend. You can't make it up. And then, the last that Monday we scored what, 35 runs? We give up two, a double run. Well, nobody's there. I mean, you can't make it out with this weather. But something that, rain or shine, they have a lot of domes in pro ball. Especially there in the MLB. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. David Welch, underscore 24 on Twitter, obviously has always given us some good updates. He wanted us to point out that Kyle Hart pitched regionally 6 innings pinch, 4 strikeouts, just the 1 hit, and he got his second win of his career. So he's had 3 starts this season, and he's got 2 wins. So, I mean, he's really working out a lot better in San Diego than his other stops, and it really this must be real comfortable for him. In AAA, we have Tanner Gordon with a 3-inning outing with 3 strikeouts. Philip Glaser for AA, he had a 7-for-11 weekend. 6 straight hits at one point. Not a 6-game hitting streak. 6 at-bats in a row with a hit. And to hear it happen for Philip Glaser, it's like, oh, yeah, it would happen for him. It's just he's just like a ball player, right? And I wish we even had him even longer than we did. He was just such a pleasure to watch. And we got McCabe Brown. He's in the high A level. He's a little bit behind because he had some injuries. But if he stays healthy, I could see him moving up pretty quick. He had a 3-inning, 6-strikeout performance, and he had struck out 4 in a row at one point. He also wanted me to point out Carter Matheson has 2 home runs, one of them left the park. So he's got an inside the parker, Tyler Cerny style, I guess. And then he's also got one over the park. So, it's been a exciting, exciting Pro Bowl start for our guys. Something to look at tomorrow night. Luke Senard is going up against Brian Reisdorf. So that's pretty cool. You got right away, you got two of our guys facing each other. And David's going to be in attendance on Saturday. So we'll see, who plays each other then. But hopefully he can get in and get to see some of the players. I know he does a lot of Hoosier road trips. And he reaches out and he shows us the videos and the photos. And it's always good stuff. But if Saturday gets played, I just wanted to remind people that is the baseball card set game. So wherever that second game falls, I would think they're going to give out the baseball cards. I know that's a big thing. I know I'll enjoy them. I know a lot of the fans do the baseball card set. So wherever the second game of the series falls, I would think that's when they'll give them out. Friday night was supposed to be like craft beer night. Saturday was the cards, and Sunday was an Easter egg hunt. So again, however the schedule plays out, that was the original promotional schedule plan. I mean, maybe we'll get lucky, right? If it's just rain and it's not cold weather, get this rain out of here. Let's have a beautiful weekend for a Maryland sweep. So for the rest of the Big Ten info, we're going to go to Carl.
Yes, there's not really a ton has shaken up. UCLA and Iowa at the top of the standings kind of keep going back and forth. Technically speaking, UCLA is in first place, although they are a half a game behind. I know that sounds weird, but just when you don't play the same number of games, it can actually fall out that way. So if you go to one site, it'll say Iowa's in front. The other sites will say UCLA. We say UCLA because it's by win percentage, which is how the Big Ten calculates it. Of course, at this point, we still have not had any Big Ten games canceled. They've moved a whole bunch around, but every game's been played. So hopefully that will continue and all 17 teams will get their 30 games in, and there won't be as much of these disparities. It'll come out just like a regular baseball season. So the games back on our site is just a guide to, you know, what a team needs to do. It's not a definitive. It's the win percentage that in the end that matters. IU is now in eighth place, have the same win percentage as number seven Penn State, who obviously beat Indiana in a head-to-head series, so that was an easier one to calculate. Gets more confusing when you start getting to these multi-team ties, like at the bottom of the standings, where there's a few of those, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Purdue all stuck at 5 and 10. Maryland is behind them, one game behind them, and Ohio State is at 2 and 13. So, of the top, see, six, the four Western teams are all in the top six at 1, 3, 4, and 5. Illinois has vaulted into the top five with their 9 and 6 so far performance and having beat IU over the course of the weekend. All right, so that finish that then takes us to pick'ems. Among our group, Cass had the big week at 6 and 1. The
Oof, I
only one
needed that.
Cass got wrong was picking Northwestern, which almost all of us picked Northwestern. So the rest
Almost.
of us, while it came in different ways, the rest of us finished up at 4 and 3 on the week. So again, USC won their series. Minnesota went to Ohio State and took that series, which only Cass had picked. Purdue did indeed. I picked Purdue and Purdue won. Something is just weird now. That's just, yeah. Despite the one run rule, Oregon still won the series at Maryland. Northwestern got beat by Michigan State. A couple of us had tried to pick the upset on Nebraska. Did not come out that way. Iowa won that series. They did lose a game. They had been riding a lot of sweeps, but they did finally lose that game, and that's why that was just enough to drop them into second place. UCLA did lose a game, but they still won the series against Washington. So overall here, our order has not, well, the one change in order was that Cass passed me. Cass now has a series on me. Chris has two series on Cass in third. Josh has a series on Chris, and Zach is still in first place at 27 and 12. Overall,
Who
very,
put this new
very.
guy in the game here? 27 and 12? Jeez. Killing it.
Yep, he's just been good, solid. He's not been like the rest of us who've had like crazy great weeks. Like I've had
And
two phenomenal weeks,
yeah.
and a bunch of other things. So it just it's just how it yeah, it's that whole steady Eddie thing. It just it works. What? Sorry. My it signed me out of the script, so it's going to take me a second. I may even just keep this comment in the podcast because it's like, don't sign me out of the script. Bef Oh, there was one thing I did want to get into because I just want to say I did enjoy the time at Illinois. I went to the Friday and Saturday games. I was not able to go to the Sunday game, but I went to the Friday and Saturday games. And I'll say this because I had gone to a couple of the games like 6 years ago, and wow, the crowds, the Saturday crowd, it was they had every now they don't have as many seats as the Bart, but they filled every seat, plus quite a bit of standing room was in play. So they were they've got a lot of interest there. But I also have something I wanted to share here because it was just too entertaining. Because these guys sat right by us, and I got to sit right behind the WIUX radio guys in the bleachers. It was actually rather fun. So, but I do want to
They
share.
called the game from the bleachers?
Yes,
Oh, wow.
they had a little they had a place at the very end behind the IU dugout. There's actually a power outlet behind the dugout that's just for that purpose, for
So
like.
the guys on the bench could hear them calling the game? That's wild. They must be, right?
Probably, I mean, it's just it's still it's somewhat deep bullpen, so I mean it's a deep dugout, so I don't know if they could quite hear them, but this was one of the better things I've seen in a as far as a treat at a game was this particular slush container was quite entertaining. So I don't know,
So it's
Chris,
like icing.
you may have yeah. You may have seen something like this, I don't know, at a major league park, but it's the first time I've seen something like
I've
this.
seen something like it, but no kid was drinking it. If you know what I mean. Oh man, I have seen those. They have them. If this is a true story, Google spring training Mets, Port St. Lucie, and they have them. They're yay long, just like it looked like that kid had, but they're loaded margaritas or tequila. And then they have these buckets. So the guys walk around with the buckets and these long, long drinks like that. I've never seen them at a pro game, but I've seen them at spring training on TV. And at exact, I was like, wait a second, that's a kid. But yeah.
Yeah,
So I
it's like,
guess that's
but it's a little plastic baseball bat, and it's just, yeah.
And then so it's just icy without the extra. That's cool. Nice. Good job. Maybe he was a little extra. You don't know. Maybe the kid was allowed. Illinois, they got different rules over there. That is great. Good find. And they were right in front of you, huh?
Oh yeah, it kind of got packed there because I scooched over to be behind the, well, I kind of intentionally got myself behind them because as it got packed, I was like, yeah, I don't want anyone like heckling the radio guys while they're on the air. So,
Nice.
and I was
Good
able
deal.
to chime in here and there too. It was rather entertaining. So,
You got two good games. I'm glad you made the trip home after that second one, though. Jeez.
the Sunday game was not exactly amazingly entertaining.
I mean, 10 years of doing this, I can't remember 15 hits and 15 runs and scoring in every inning. That was wild. They were past zip code baseball. They were in six digits. That was craziness, man. That's the one you don't watch the tape. You just flush and start over.
Well, so I guess what I want to talk about here in our discussion is we look at the again, I kind of focus on the Friday night game. Because that was the game that decided the series, essentially. I know it was the first one, but in the end, that was it. And we've seen this a lot where it's the close games that you have you've got a blowout here and there. IU, I think, has had five run rules and now has been run ruled once, but there have been a couple other blowout losses. But the close games have consistently not gone the Hoosiers' way. There have been a couple of exceptions, but for the most part, they haven't been able to pull out the close games, especially in league play. So, what do we think that means? I'm going to give this to Zach first.
I did some quick calculations and I kind of decided a close game for me is four runs or less. I think that's a decent benchmark. So in games that are decided by four runs or less, Indiana is 6-12. It seems that they win big and lose close all year long, and really without the recency bias, which is Sunday's rubber match at Illinois, just a broader perspective, just being from a baseball background myself, I always notice that it goes back to how they start the game. We've heard Jeff Mercer talk about it. We've heard Cole Gilley and Ryan Kraft as well all speak about the importance of pitching with a lead. And Indiana is an offensively led team that I would also classify as an energetic group. When the bats aren't rolling early, they're dead for nearly the entire game and they're playing from behind. So they fall behind and the dugout goes quiet along with the bats. But if they do stick to the hitting approach and jump on the pitcher early, they usually do go on to win the game, sending a pitcher out there with confidence, adrenaline behind him. And really, the best examples of this was just recently, all the past weekends. UCLA's Friday night guy lets up five runs in four innings. USC's Saturday starter allows seven runs in two innings. Michigan State's incredible Friday night left-hander Indiana tags him for 8 hits and 5 runs. So it's all about starting early for me, and they simply can't take any games off. So Indiana has 12 conference games left while sitting 10-8 in the Big Ten. I think that on paper they are better than all four Big Ten opponents they'll face the rest of the way, with Iowa being the closest match, of course. The Hoosiers have not won a Big Ten road series yet, and it goes to the early innings of each contest of each weekend set, I believe.
And to me, I never want to make excuses, but I can see where some of the stuff comes from. With how, and we kind of touched on it earlier, with how screwy so many of these weekends have gotten because of weather, that throws off your pitching rotation. And what was is that an excuse for giving up 15 runs? No, not at all. But it does help to explain some of the pitching deployment choices when you've had so much chaos in timing. And I think this is the most weekend schedule changes we've seen in quite a long time, and we've still got how many weeks of the season left? Like this is unusual. And so I do want to throw that out there that kind of a the screwiness of schedule paired with particularly Drew Burr still being out. Your most reliable, typical, like prototypical bullpen arm, who you know can be an innings eater. You can throw him in any. You need a spot start? Sure. You need long relief? Sure. You need a guy to lock down for an inning? Sure. Those two things together, paired with a few guys who are just getting back into the swing of things, that's not a very great recipe for sustained success. You can get by in short bursts, like the sweep of Michigan State. You can have moments where everything is clicking, but eventually something is going to start to fall. And I think we saw that a little bit this weekend where pitching was great through two games, absolutely phenomenal through two games. And then there was nothing left.
But also to the point that Zach made, though, there was an interesting deployment choice made on Friday,
Oh,
and
yeah.
that was to have Kraft pitch third,
Yep.
and the runs that cost them the game. Now, and I get it, 4 runs should have holding them to 4 runs should have been enough.
Been
The
enough.
offense should have come through, but to Zach's point and how the team performs. It might make more sense that, okay, if you know, well, I mean, I guess the argument that Mercer made was that he hinted at, well, maybe we save Ryan Kraft for one of the other two
Right.
games if things aren't going well. But given that they were down 2 runs and they used him anyway, I would think that maybe hindsight being 2020, it might have been smarter to have started with Kraft, let him go as deep as he can. And then hope that you have a lead, and that kind of just motivates the whole team to try to just,
Yeah.
barrel through it and both from an offensive and a defensive perspective and not be down early.
Yeah. And I do get that, but with Kraft having also pitched on Tuesday.
Well, I'm not saying he pitches more. I'm just saying, why couldn't it have been the first through the fourth innings versus
Right.
the third through the seventh or whatever?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly didn't have any problem with going to Gubitosi there. He had to have been one of the freshest arms in that bullpen.
I know, but I'm what I, all I'm saying is to Zach's point. Maybe it makes sense that if that's really the case, that you do better when you play from ahead. You put your best
Yeah.
arm up front.
That's fair.
That's all
That's
I'm
fair.
saying.
That's
And it's
fair.
not that I like, oh, I don't know. And Gubitosi has done well, and we know everybody's going to have a bad outing at some point. It's just, it happens.
And
I mean, as we said, Joseph Jirwa, I mean, it happens.
I do want to give credit to Brayton Thomas, who came in 2 pitches, 2 outs, and 1 plate appearance.
Well, I mean, to
Way
me,
back.
that was the highlight of Sunday was Thomas and Brummel, because Brummel got out of it. It's just it was the error
The
that
error.
kept that thing going, and that they were they were throwing strikes. Now, granted, we only saw Thomas throw 2 pitches,
But
but
he
they were
got in, he
strikes.
did his
So,
job.
and you see how different it is when those guys take the mound. Just the level of stuff is so much elevated with those guys compared to everybody else. It's so critical to me that those guys get into the mix, because if this team is gonna do what they're gonna need to do, which is probably go win the Big Ten tournament, they're gonna need a couple of back end guys that can come in and shut down an inning. Maybe just one inning. Just
One
go in and
inning,
shut that one inning
like
down.
Vogel last year.
Right, exactly. And because the point is, Vogel's not gonna be able to close 4 games.
No.
They're mostly likely going to have to go to Omaha, and they're going to have to win 4 straight games, and they're going to need more pitching to do that, and they're going to need stuff, not just guys that can kind of throw strikes, but they need guys that can throw with stuff, and those are two of the best options right there are Thomas and Brummel.
And
Chris, you got any thoughts?
also, what Zach talks about with the 4-run lead, right? A 4-run window. I mean, I know people say there is no clutch, right? There's no clutch gene, and clutch is just a theme thing or whatever. But we've had great comebacks. We've caught people. We've went ahead. We've then got caught in these late games. We haven't been great late. Execution on the mound, execution in the field, and as much as this offense has shined this year,
Not
we've
lately.
lacking the big hit 7th inning or later, except for one jolly home run that I can remember. I mean, really, I hate to put it on the offense. They don't deserve it. But I'd like to really, really look at the numbers 7th inning or later in this 4-run window Zach's talking about, because I don't think it's there. I think all three parts of the machine have had a hard time 7th inning or later, and we've been paying for it. And it doesn't mean these guys are like bad players. It's at the end of the games. We're just not executing, and we're blowing leads. And even when we come back, we're re-blowing leads. So, and those hurt. I mean, I love these blowouts. Don't get me wrong. 18-3. What do you say? We have 5-run rules on people. Let's go. Bring on a ton of those. But we all know that in the Big Ten tournament, to your point, it ain't going to be like that. It's like the NBA, right? Wait till the playoffs come, and you can't have the showboating and this and that. They're not going to be run rules. And you're going to have to execute. And I know the stadium's not going to be packed unless Nebraska's there playing in the game. And it's going to be empty. And you're going to have to create your own juice and go ahead and do it, because this offense deserves to make the tournament. And I know they haven't been great late, but I don't know who wants to pitch to it come June. We
Well,
got to get in.
but this offense is built to play in that park.
True,
They're a
true.
double. They're a
Lots
doubles
of gaps.
driven.
Yep,
Yeah,
yep.
they're a doubles driven team,
Oh, big
and
time.
that is a that they're gonna. I think they're gonna do really well in that ballpark.
Yeah, but
I mean,
we don't want to go up 7-4, then down 8-7, then
yeah.
up 9-8, blah 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 blah. It's
And our pitchers can be a little bit more comfortable throwing strikes and not worrying about, a
pop.
breeze catching the ball and it going over the park, going over the fence.
Or a ball getting thrown into the stands and the guy going to third on what should be a ground ball out. Defense hasn't been stellar either. It's affected every aspect of this team late in games.
But
That could get fixed though, right? It's not like these guys aren't capable. They're good players. And they just got to make it happen late in the games.
kind of an explanation a little what you said, Chris, though, about the idea that, oh, there's no clutch gene. I think a lot of times that's a major league concept. And we're dealing with college kids, so I think there's a little bit of a distinction there. To get to the point at which you're a major league ball player, I think you have learned over the years that consistency is how important consistency is, and only the guys that can get that kind of consistency are going to see time in the show.
The ones who have the clutch, they all have clutch gene, and then
Well, but you also
therefore
say
it's
it can be
moot.
learned over time, and that these are and This team is often starting five freshmen.
Yeah. They
It's
need a nickname. We got to come up with a name. I mean, Fab Five is taken, so we got to come up with something else. Now, they'd be
Well,
all
I
fun to watch.
charged Cole Gilley with coming up with that name.
A little
I saw you
excited
on
about
in the press, you were reading his mind. I was like, Cole's thinking
that.
about it. Well, that was cool. No, I mean, there's plenty of season left, and there's plenty of good stuff to watch. Are we going to watch it through a different lens than we do sometimes other seasons? Sure, right? We're not fighting for that at-large bid or trying to, get in as the 3 or the 2 seed in the tournament. But there's still a lot of stuff that this team's going to show. And to your point, five freshmen, everything they do in every at-bat and every inning of the rest of the season goes towards next year.
I mean, the only pushback you have on that is that you've got two Golden Spikes candidates on this team. That's the part that stings a little. You got two
Yeah,
Golden
that's what
Spikes
I'm
candidates.
saying. I wish we were better late in games defensively and pitching because this offense deserves to play in a tournament. But it's like that year, what was it, 21, when the pitching staff was so good and teams were so scared of us, but we couldn't hit our way out of a paper bag and we didn't make the tournament.
That also goes along with the freshmen not really being plugged in. We just talked about that with Brummel and Brayden Thomas. They need these guys for the next year and years to come. And you can't with the new era of college baseball or college athletics in general, with the transfer portal and stuff, you're not going to hit on everybody. So you need these guys to get in there. Thomas has done his job every time, and especially when with our weather issues, they should be getting in some of these games on with a double header and something like that. But like you start out a game with Gavin Seabold the other day. I know he hasn't had his best stuff really all year long. He has an over an 8 ERA, but you can't rely on these transfer portal guys to be your best pitchers. They struck gold with Cole Gilley. I mean, that he's been unbelievable. But you're not always going to get an ace kind of guy out of the portal. So they need to develop these arms. And that also goes with the hitters with five through nine or in the order or whatever it is that are all freshmen. That's really going to pay dividends going forward and next year and the year to come.
You're spot on with that. What they have done, what specifically what Dustin Kland has done in the portal, has been taking guys who were okay at a mid-major level, and that they identified if we add one pitch to these guys, they could be really good. And that was Luke Senard, and that's been Cole Gilley. Those are the types. But
I'd argue
again, you
Greg
look at how
also.
many portal pitchers have been brought in. That they're, to your point, Zach, it's they're not hitting on any type of high percentage on this. They're getting some guys that can eat innings, and Seabold has been a solid inning eater in most of his outings. He's been able to eat innings when they need that, and he's had a couple decent outings. But he's also, to your point, starting him out as the first starter. Has struggled a bit. I was hoping after that first inning Sunday he would settle in, kind of like he did in that first game, but that didn't come about. Because someone like Seabold is good when he's got all of his pitches. He doesn't have that one pitch. There's some of these guys that just have so much talent that they can get away with. I mean, like there were times Connor Foley could just throw fastballs. He didn't have to throw anything else. And he wasn't doing great, but he was at least able to get through a few innings and only give up a run or two, and not think things not get out of hand just by throwing fastballs. A guy like Gavin Seabold, he's got to have four pitches, and they've got to be able to all he's got to be able to land all four. And when he doesn't, he struggles, and it's going to happen from time to time. So I think, Zach, you make some really, really good points there. All right.
And
Oh, go ahead, Cass.
I was gonna say, do we want to actually do our pick-ems, or is it best for us to send them to you? Because we didn't actually make our picks.
You know what? Let's just bypass that this week, because Josh hasn't sent me his yet. So everybody
Okay.
send them to me.
So.
They will be up on the website. Unless there was a specific, if there's a specific game you guys want to call out. We've got, see, Purdue at Penn State, Iowa at Michigan, Minnesota at Rutgers, Northwestern at Nebraska, Ohio State at Michigan State, UCLA at Oregon, and Illinois at Washington.
UCLA Oregon's going to be a great series.
Yeah, I think Illinois at Washington will be a good one too.
I think it will. Yeah.
Actually, all of these are gonna, this is gonna be a
It's
tough week
a
to
hard
pick.
week.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hard week to pick pretty much. Yeah, in fact, I don't think there's any of these that I would call a gimme.
Yeah.
If you need any inspiration, I'm taking all home teams, so.
Okay.
I'm
Oh, he's
taking
trying my
mostly
move,
home
huh?
teams,
He's
but
trying my move. Mine are all over the place. What I did, though, I was looking at what you said, Carl, how the 11th to 15th are all within one game back. So I'm rooting for pure chaos. Like when I
I
was a
do
kid,
like
there
it.
was this Mike and the Mad Dog radio show in New York, and the Mad Dog would always want that to be like an 18 tie for the wild card.
Yes.
And he'd be like, "Well, then what do they do? Well, they play two games on Monday, and then you have to go to your other town and play the other one." So I want total chaos. So that's where my picks went. I'll send them to you. But
Okay.
right now, 11th to 15th is all within one game. So I'm trying to put as many people in that eighth place tie as possible.
Just not ice.
12th, 12th team, 12th place tie, right?
Yeah, you're gonna really make the tiebreakers really complicated for me,
Well,
aren't you?
back then it was only the division winners and one wild card, remember? So it wasn't all these wild cards. So he would love it. He'd be like, "Hey, Mikey, what are we gonna do if 14 guys make the wild card? How are they gonna play at 1 a.m.? Are they gonna play at 1 a.m., Mikey?" Oh, it would be hysterical. And Mad Dog is still doing his thing. He's on like Stephen A. Smith now, like 30 years later. But Mike and the Mad Dog grew up on it my whole life, and that was the best New York sports radio that ever was.
All right. Well, I think that'll be where we leave this one off. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Cassidy Palmer, Chris Feeney, and Zach Horwitz, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.